Our scripture reading here this morning, one verse from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And if you don't have your Bibles, we have pew Bibles. You're welcome to take one out there and read along with us. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible that's in that pew, take it home with you, please. Now you got one, okay? I want everyone to own the Word of God. And if you don't have one, either take one of ours or let me know. I'll buy you one, free of charge. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. It will be brief. It is just one verse. Verse number 4. I read out of an NIV translation, so it might be a little different than what you have in your Bible. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. We'll just stop right there. Let's pray. Father, as I go into this message here this morning, Father, I want your scriptures to speak. I don't know who in here needs to hear this more than others. Father, that's not for me to decide. But I do know this, Lord, that there's probably several of us in here that need to hear these messages on this difficult topic. But Father, if it's a burden to us, we do want to share it with you because we want to get past this. We want to overcome these things. And you will always help us do that. So, Father, guide this message, but most of all, guide our hearts and guide our actions as we leave here as to what we need to do to make this situation just a little bit better in our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in a sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and today, this is week number 22 in our sermon series. And today we're going to begin our study on the seventh commandment. So what is the seventh commandment? Well, the seventh commandment can be found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. And the commandment as given to Moses from God on Mount Sinai about 1,440 years BC says this: you shall not commit adultery. Well, today and over the next several weeks, we are going to be covering this very adult topic of adultery and all of the sexual immorality that is associated with that. I will be using words that may appear to be inappropriate for church. I will be using scenarios that you or someone that you know may presently be in. And I just might say something that you don't want to hear. But there comes a time when a preacher has to stand in front of his congregation and preach the Word of God the way the Word of God needs to be preached. And since God's Word has much to say about this topic of adultery and sexual immorality, then I do too. And as Christians, we can never take God's word lightly, regardless of what the issue is. So as we study these final five commandments, the sixth commandment on murder and anger, the seventh commandment on adultery and sexual immorality, on the eighth commandment about stealing, the ninth commandment about lying, and the tenth commandment about coveting, there's a few truths that I want to share with you that I need to place in front of all of you here this morning. You'll notice in your bulletin, I have some lines there. I have four letters, O-F-R-O. And no, that is not a hairdo from the 1970s. Each one of those words is going to represent a different truth that we need to learn here today. But these four truths will really cover these final five commandments. And I need to make sure that we understand these as we continue with our study on these commandments. Truth number one, we may or we will see that there is some overlap in these commandments. There's going to be some overlap in these commandments, and what I mean by that is this, that one breaking of one commandment can easily overlap into us breaking one of the other ones, or maybe multiple commandments. I'm going to give you a for instance, and I'm going to allow you to fill in the blank. Okay, we have five commandments, five choices, anger, adultery, lying, stealing, and coveting. Okay, those are our five choices. I made up a make-believe scenario, and I want you to fill in the blank. For instance, here's our scenario. A married man desires another man's wife, so he would be what? Coveting, okay? He would be coveting. We have a married man who wants another man's wife. He's coveting, and he tells his wife that he is working late when he is really out with this other woman, so he is doing what? He's lying. This man has multiple sexual liaisons with this woman, so he is committing adultery. And he gets terribly upset when his adulterous partner cannot make an evening rendezvous, so he gets angry. And all this ends up with this married couple and this married couple getting divorced, which really means that this man did what with this other woman? He stole her from this other man. So you can see where there can be a lot of overlap in these commandments. When we break one, it can easily lead into us breaking other ones. Truth number two, and this begins with the letter F. This is a good one. Every one of these sins is forgivable. Every one of these sins is forgivable. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover and cover completely. That is good news. Our third truth that we need to learn. This one begins with the letter R. Okay, so we know that Jesus can forgive us of all these sins. However, that never, ever, ever grants the Christian a license to sin repeatedly with their understanding that, hey, I can do it because God's going to forgive me. In the church, we have a name for this. We call this cheap grace. And it damages our witness as representatives of Jesus Christ. A continuation in any one of these sins with a lack of, here's the R word, with a lack of repentance should make one question the true salvation of that person. Can that person go on out and repeatedly do this without any remorse or regret? There needs to be a state of repentance for these sins. And truth number four, this one begins with the letter O also. Any one of us in here may find ourselves struggling in any one of these five commandments, and maybe even several of them. I think I speak for all of us. The Christian walk has its challenges. Amen? It does. But that does not mean that we cannot overcome those challenges. Let me say that again. That does not mean that we can never overcome those challenges. We must never concede to losing the battle. Whatever the battle is, with whatever sin it is. We need to realize several different things here. One, we serve an all-powerful God. Two, we serve a Savior in Jesus Christ who is making intercession for each and every one of us. And three, we serve a Holy Spirit who's indwelling in each and every one of us as Christians. We need to decide, my friends, what is more important, our relationship with God, or would we rather satisfy our own carnal desires? You can't have both. Either one is going to dominate your life or the other one will. The seventh commandment is this: you shall not commit adultery. And in our study of this commandment, specifically today, we're just going to cover the actual sin of adultery. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look into the other related sins and go into those other bounds of sexual immorality. So, what is adultery? Let's identify this. The definition that Webster gives is probably the exact same definition that God would give. Webster defines adultery as this: voluntary, important word there, voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. With that definition, we're going to get into something called semantics, and let's specifically identify terms and what we call them. Because of this definition, only a married person can commit adultery. Adultery differs from this other sin called fornication. Fornication is this, very similar, but under a little different situations. Fornication is consensual sexual intercourse between two persons who are not married to each other. Never says anything about either one of those people being married. Unmarried people, when they have sex outside of marriage, they commit fornication. And that is one of those sins that falls under that umbrella of sexual immorality, which we will get into here over the next couple weeks. So, a married person like myself, I can commit adultery, I cannot commit fornication. A single person commits fornication, commits adultery, they are still all sexual sins. God is displeased with each and every one of them. They all need to be confessed and repented of. So, what does God think about adultery? If we go back to the Mosaic Law, Old Testament, it says this in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Well, I think that kind of explains it. I don't think that needs much more of an explanation. This offense was one that ended in capital punishment. And I believe that gives us some insight as to what God thinks about the purity of marriage and sexual relations. And next week, we will talk specifically about what defines a marriage. So what do we, as 21st century Americans, what do we think about adultery today? Well, let me give you a good church pastor answer. Adultery is a very big sin problem in the world today, and specifically in the United States. And unfortunately, it has become accepted as normal human behavior, both outside the church and unfortunately inside the church. I got a newsflash for all of us, Beech Grove. Society acceptance of this sin does not make it right. God has the final say-so on what is right and what is wrong on this issue of adultery or any other issue. He is the final word, not what the world tells us. For those of us who can turn back the hands of time to 1972, like people like me, there was a song on the Billboard Top 100. Actually, it achieved, went all the way up to number 3. It was a hit song by a one-hit wonder by a man named Luther Ingram. The name of the song was this: "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." The song, plain and simple, is about adultery. Here's a few lines out of that song. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. If being right means being without you, I'd rather live a wrong doing life. Your mama and daddy say it's a shame. It's a downright disgrace. Long as I got you by my side, I don't care what your people say. Your friends tell you there's no future in loving a married man. If I can't see you when I want to, I'll see you when I can. Because if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. For some reason, when songs like that come out, it seems to give the listeners a license to do exactly what they're doing. Because now the mentality is, yeah, if he can do it, then I can too. And obviously a lot of people must want to do this because the song reached number 3 on the Billboard charts in 1972. One line in that song says this, and I'll repeat it. Your mama and daddy say it's a shame. It's a downright disgrace. You know, I think there's a good chance that her parents are Christians. And because they know what her daughter is going through, they have righteous anger over that situation. And they want her to make it right. And they should have righteous anger over a son or a daughter who's following these ways of the wicked. And you know, it's not just music. TV shows and movies do the same thing. Put adultery and sexual immorality in front of any of us long enough, make it look attractive, throw in a little emotion, and all of a sudden a wrong becomes a right. How often have we, Christians, cheered for that married man to steal that other woman? How often have we cheered for that married woman to finally have that really great other guy? But that's where society and the world is taking us. Did you know that in Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Illinois, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Idaho, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Utah, New York, South Carolina, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Maryland, 16 states, that it is a crime to commit adultery? The penalty in Wisconsin is the most severe. It could cost the adulterous party as much as $10,000 and 3 years in jail. That would be a deterrent in a way, wouldn't it? Did you notice one of those states that was mentioned? Utah? What do we find a lot of in Utah? Mormons. And what religious cult has more examples of polygamy than any other? I was just asking. The website, www.beliefnet.com, which is a Christian-based website, says that there are 6 fatal consequences to adultery. And here they are. Number 1, guilt and shame. The wounded spouse believes, hey, there must be something wrong with me. Number 2, loss of trust and intimacy. The wounded spouse says this, I will always remember what he or she did to me, and things will never be the same. Number 3, divorce. The wounded spouse says this, I just can't be with you anymore because of what you've done to me. Number four, loneliness. The wounded spouse says to his or her friends, "I'll be all right. Just leave me alone." Number five, illness. Your friends, your close friends tell you, "Hey, you know what? It looks like you've lost a lot of weight, and you know, you're not looking good here lately. Is everything okay?" Not to mention any of the STDs that one may have contracted while being in this adulterous affair. And then number six, life starts over. The wounded spouse now says, "Everything that I've ever worked for has been destroyed. Everything. Now what?" Here's a few more statistics. The website www.infidelityfacts.com gives us these secular statistics about adultery and infidelity. The percentage of marriages, and these are all just in the United States, the percentages of marriages that end in divorce in America, 53%. Percentage of arranged marriages. What is an arranged marriage? Where the parent picks the spouse of their son or daughter. How many of them end in divorce? 3%. The medical field with the highest divorce rate, psychiatrists and marriage counselors. Percentage of marriages where one or both spouses admits to infidelity, either physical or emotional, 41%. Percentage of men who admit to committing infidelity in any relationship that they've ever had, 57%. Percentage of women who admit to committing infidelity in any relationship that they have ever had, 54%. Percentage of men and women who admit to having an affair with a coworker, 36%. Percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity on business trips, 36%. Percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity, either emotional or physical, with a brother-in-law or sister-in-law, 17%. The average length of an affair, 2 years. Percentage of marriages that last after an affair has been admitted or discovered, 31%. Percentage of men who say that they would have an affair if they knew they would never get caught, 74%. Percentage of women who say that they would have an affair if they knew that they would never get caught, 68%. And the last two questions that were asked on this website was one, why do men cheat? Why do men cheat? Answer, statistically speaking, men cheat for a single primary reason, sex. Why do women cheat? Statistically speaking, women don't cheat for the sake of sex. It's of secondary concern to them. The number one reason why women cheat is for an emotional connection. And this is particularly true of women over the age of 30. So whether we blame it on the man or if we blame it on the woman, the results are still the same. They're never good. They're never good. When a married man or a married woman has sexual relations outside of marriage, that is adultery. And adultery is a sin. And sin has its consequences. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says this, "And be sure that your sin will find you out." As one of the songs that I remember from 1975 says, "And you can't hide your lion eyes. And your smile is a thin disguise. I'm certainly not at a loss of material on this topic. Listen to this article that I found while doing some research. This was not planned, but it was so good, I had to share it with you here this morning. Two devout Christians, who are a couple, man and a woman, they are a couple, married couple, have set up a swingers network as a way to introduce others to the faith, the Christian faith, while indulging in extramarital sex. Now, let me share something with you. If you're not familiar with the word swingers or swinging, two things that it's not. It's not dancing, and it's not that thing you have on your front porch that goes back and forth, and you're just a swinging, okay? That's not what it is. Swingers are couples who actively and with the consent share their spouse with somebody else. They join swingers networks, and they interchange partners with whoever and whomever. That is swinging. Christy and Dean Parave regularly enjoy swapping partners with other couples as they try to spread the word of God to those who are not religious. The fitness fanatics said that they do not think they are committing adultery and that the Almighty would not be angry with having sex outside of marriage. Bisexual mom of three, Mrs. Parave, studies the Bible with her husband of 7 years, but gets into bed with other people at her partner's consent. She says this, and I quote, "I don't think God would be mad at what we are doing. At first I was conflicted, but the more we looked at it, the more it made sense to us. Dean and I are both in agreement with this lifestyle, so we're not committing adultery. God put people on the earth to breed and enjoy each other. I feel God is always with me, and he has put us here for a reason." End quote. Folks, these people are spreading something, and it's not the gospel. I assure you, what they are doing is not Christianity. And all of us in here, when we hear that story, even though it's as silly as it sounds, each and every one of us should have righteous anger over two people who call themselves Christians who are doing such a thing as this. I understand that Jesus taught us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But that is not what he meant. Story time with Pastor Mike. It was back in the 70s. I'm not going to tell you what year, and I'm not going to tell you what church I was attending. I walked into church one morning, and the pastor got up in front of the church, and he was irate. Something had really made this man angry. He starts telling the congregation that he was extremely upset because he knew that some night during the week, and this was during the Christmas season, Christmas New Year season, that at least 10 couples in the church were all involved in a key party. Now, if you don't know what a key party is, let me explain a key party. 10 couples go over to somebody's house to have a party. At the end of the evening, everybody, all the men, throw in their set of keys into a bowl. At the end of the night, each one of the wives pulls out a set of keys, and that man will drive her home that night. And that happened in a church with at least 10 couples. And boy, that pastor was mad. And he should have been. And those people should have been totally embarrassed. Some may think that the pitcher that's here inside your bulletin. Mike, I don't know if this was very suitable or appropriate for a church setting. This might be a little borderline there, Mike. Hear me out here, Second Congregation. I believe Christians are plagued with sexual sins because the church has failed to call it what it is and to say something about it and do something about it. So let's call it what it is. There's no place in the life of a Christian for adultery. Look at the picture. You can figure it out. You know what's going on, right? This man here, he's in bed with somebody else, and that woman is not his wife. Here comes the wife. She comes in and she is what? Angry. She is angry. And look at that purse. It got about 5 cans of Whip Up on my husband in it, and she's about to pull it out and she's about to use it. 3 cans on him and 2 cans on her, and she'd be right to do all of that. That's what that picture is all about. And folks, this is what Christians do not do. But one thing I would like to know, looking at it from a Christian point of view, is it wrong? Yes. We all know it's wrong. I just wonder when he asked for forgiveness, he repented, and when she forgave him. Because that's what happens when we fail. Somebody says, I'm sorry. That person repents. That person turns away and doesn't do it again. And the offended party says, I forgive you. May not happen that day, that week, that month, or that year. But it needs to happen. Because as difficult as it is, that's what Christians do. For those of us in here who are married, we need to remember why we married our wife or our husband in the first place. Remember that wedding day? Oh, you remember the date, the time, you remember everything. You remember the excitement that you had on that day that this woman is going to be mine, or this man, he's going to be mine? I'll bet each and every one of us that evening, the thought of having an adulterous affair was never on our mind. We just wanted to enjoy that evening with this new person who is my wife, who is my husband. So we wouldn't have had an adulterous affair on our wedding night, would we? So then we shouldn't have one now. Remember the wife, the husband of our youth. Folks, we need to decide what is more important, to improve our relationship with God or to satisfy our own carnal desires. Because in the Christian walk, there's really only room for this one. There's no room for this other one. And I honestly believe in the power of prayer. I don't know what your situation is, and quite frankly, I don't care. Have you had an affair? I don't care. Are you struggling with sexual sin? If you want me to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. I know this. If we have something that's really getting to us, Satan knows it's our hot button, and we need to get past it, try prayer. Throw your burdens on the Lord. I guarantee he'll get you through them, because he always does. Next week, we're going to continue in this seventh commandment, and we're going to talk more about marriage. We're going to talk about being evenly yoked. And we're going to talk about some excuses that we use to condone our sexually immoral behavior. Come back. Let's pray.